I began a series, and I really believe this has got to be one of the most important series we've ever done. This is getting to touch into a new area of insight that I don't know that the church has had in the capacity of what we're bringing today. And when I say that, I'm not trying to say God's using only us to do this, because I don't know what God's doing. All I know is that I haven't heard it from other churches. And where we're going, I think God's given us a blessing to be able to understand this, to be able to bring out, to do our part in the work. You know, I really, really do. So I'm going to do part two, and I'm going to show you how God's been using the building blocks of what he says, I'll do nothing till I reveal my secret to my servants. So if we're getting close to the end time, then God's got to be revealing things to us before he does it. And I speak to most people, and they think, the same as I do, that we can't have a lot of time. So that means we should be looking for some insight into where we're at. Would y'all agree with that? I don't think that's too far-stretched to be able to do that. So now, we're going to build on that. So we're going to pick up a few things I did last week, last time I spoke, 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to pull in a few things from the last few years. And then we're going to lock down and begin to open up new insight into Roaring Seas. This will only be the beginning of the Roaring Season. When you see what we've gone through in this one verse, you'll see why I say that. Because when you first start looking at a subject, certain things become obvious. But it's not until you begin to research in prayer, in meditation, and in study, and going back and forth, here a little, there a little, that more and more of the scriptures begin to reveal themselves of things you didn't see before. So this series now is going to begin to open up things we haven't considered in the same fashion. What's great about this, it doesn't change anything. It locks down things of what we always thought was going to happen and gives us time elements. Okay, Roaring Seas. I began understanding this through a report that came out of the University of Melbourne. All right, this is from the environmental group called MOC, and this is not modern, so this is not political when they made the statement of what they were doing. So they went through and said that the report supersized waves to compound the effects of rising seas, leading to more frequent flooding and accelerated coastal erosion. Well, no, we're seeing that. All right, we're seeing that. That's just not modern day. That's just not climate change. That's not political. That's not green. These are real events that are taking place. They're talking about strong winds are driving the oceans and biggest waves to dizzling new heights. All right, so let's go on with that article. And this is where I did the foundation, what began to open up my eyes to look into this. Strong winds are supersizing the ocean's biggest waves. Amped up winds and waves could aggravate the effects of climate change. Now, what I want to put in here is this. God warns, because of sin, you wouldn't have rain in due season, because of dry events, because of beginning all of a sudden of shift of events around the world, that the earth was going to be groaning in travail until Christ returns. God prophesied that. What the world has done, it has taken that event and changed it to talk about going after, believe it or not, conservative Christians, because they're not going to be following the way, eventually, what the Pope is aligning itself to. That's what I'm going to show you today. It is reversed. Satan is the master of deception. And he is the great counterfeiter. So he knows this, and not only that, he has the power to do it himself, which I'll show you again today. You know, a couple of things I'm going to repeat, because even people in the church, I'll get emails and I'll get phone calls, and they'll say, you know, I didn't know Satan had the power to do those things. When you talk about Job, just didn't realize. You think that's just God does that? No. God can turn it over to Satan. Okay, then adding destructive strength to storms already fueled by rising seas. All right, so that's what the report was. Now, this report was a long-term report, right? That's a long-term report that we're looking at. Now, with that talking about, in effect, the weather, now we're going to go back to a scripture. This is amazing. I hope you guys pay attention and go back into this. What God does in one scripture. I take a politician, three books to say what God says in one sentence. All right? So watch what God has in this one sentence. All right? I mean, one verse, not sentence, one verse. All right? So here we go. There should be light, there'll be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth, distress of nations with perplexity. All right, so it sounds pretty simple. That is one of the most packed, complicated passages I've come across. Why? Because it's a conclusion statement. In other words, if you say this, 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 therefore, then you give a conclusion. So when we get to this, God's trying to tell us something, all right? So now there's one more part of that verse I'm going to get to in just a moment. So here, and the sea and the waves roaring. The last 4 years, maybe 5 years, we've been working very hard in that top verse, and I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes, about the stars, the moon, the nations, perplexity and anxiety, right? I never touched on the second part of that verse. When I saw that news article, all of a sudden in my mind, all these scriptures began like falling into place. So you could just, like you stop and you go into almost like a trance. And all of a sudden God begins to reveal all these different scriptures that you know. And it's like bam, 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 bam. And it's like, whoa. And you sit back and say, how did I not see that before? Well, now it's because we're moving into this time. God didn't need us to know before because it wasn't time. But it is now. And that ought to alarm everybody. I talk to people in the church and they say, we've always had that. We've always had this. We've always had that. How dangerous is that for God's people? Because you become complacent. And the warnings are peppered throughout the Bible about those kind of warnings. So let's take this now and dissect it again a little further than last week. All right, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. All right, that's the first section. Here's the second. And upon the earth, distress of nations. The next section, with perplexity. All right? So now, each one of these is just told you something. What has it told us? If we just read it, you read right through it like you don't pick it up. So now, watch what's going on here. Look at Joel 2, verse 30 and 31. This is the first biblical insight. The beginning of the verse tells us when we're to expect these things to come to pass. God says, I'll do nothing before I show you. So he told us that, right? And now this verse is telling us when they're going to happen. Isn't that amazing? Watch what happens here. Joel 2, verse 30 and 31. I will show you signs and wonders in the heavens, and blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So now, all of that's going to take place right before the day of the Lord. Now, what people misunderstand about the day of the Lord, they think it's the 3.5-year tribulation. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. The day of the Lord encompasses all the period of when God says it starts now. In Revelation chapter 1, John says his vision, he says, I'm in the day of the Lord. The events have not taken place yet. So you go into the day of the Lord. What's the first thing that happens? You go into chapter 2 and chapter 3, the warning to the churches. So when these events begin to take place, the first thing God tells the churches, get ready. Why did he tell them? He says, because I just told you in the Old Testament that I'm not going to do it till I warn you. And now John's showing us in Revelation chapter 1, we see in Joel that it's beginning to take place. When? Right before the day of the Lord. So when people say, we've always had that, you better wake up. That's all I can say. You better wake up. Because it's going to catch you unaware. So we began a few years ago. My first inclination was to try to speak against the blood moons, because I was always told in the church, you don't look at the heavens. But God said you're supposed to. So when I began to look at it, God began to say, I see the understanding. I actually wrote a book. I'm saying, how do I publish a book? A publisher called me, looking for information about another writer. And like within a week, I asked the publisher, said, how do I get a book published? And he said, and I said, do you have anything on blood moons yet? He goes, no, not yet. He said, but it's going to be a big issue. I said, if I can write your piece, would you look at it? He said, sure, send it to me. He said, hey, have you written a book before? I said, no, I sure haven't. I said, but I didn't know how to find a publisher either. So within 3 months, I wrote a book, sent it to him. He called me up on a Friday night. He said, look, I'm not finished yet, but I've read just enough to let me know I'm going to publish your book, so make sure you finish it. And that's how God opened the door. All right. So from that time on, we went to this. In 2014 and 2015, we did all these sermons and sermon series on what? The first part of that verse. The sun and the moon is before the day of the Lord. And we finished right here in 2017 with the star alignment. In other words, like today, today's the beginning of roaring seas in this series. I don't know where God's going to take us to yet. So when I joke about it, I can't wait to see what I got to say, I can't wait to see where God's taking us. But from that time on, topic began to disprove what I found to be true. Look what the series is we built around that. That's an amazing thing. So now we're beginning another phase. We're going to go into another phase of that one verse. All of this centers around one verse. All right, so let's go on. All right, the second part of that verse. And upon the earth, distress on the nations, right? Matthew 24, 6 through 14, stuff we've always known. Luke 21, stuff we've always known. Telling us about what mankind's begin to be like, right? That's what we're looking at. We're still in. When is it supposed to happen? Well, right before the day of the Lord, this is all going to take place. The condition. Now, the second thing we need to understand, right? The biblical insight here. The condition the church will be in when these things begin. That's the second thing. With perplexity. Perplexity means no way out. Not finding a solution. So mankind's going to reach a stuff that's going to explode to the point that he can't fix it. So when you see all this taking place, it's going to happen right before the world takes a dump and goes right down a tube. Goes right down a tube. That didn't sound very good, takes a dump, huh? I didn't mean it that way. I meant like going down a tube. I thought about that right after I said that. I said, man, I hope I get to take that back. All right, so now that's with perplexity. All right, then you got now the last part with the sea and the waves roaring. There's the third insight that God has given us. We're still in the same verse, you all. That tells us how we get to that condition through physical revelation of the spiritual battle. So God tells us when all this is taking place, the spiritual war is going on behind scenes that we can't see. Because it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers in high places, right? When you begin to see mankind tumble, like, man, this past week was tough. I wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, man, here we go now. What's going to happen now? You know, we can't fit it all in news and nuggets. We're going to have to go to a second program you just can't cover everything that's happening these days. So now we get into that stage, seas and the waves roaring, right? This is the third section. So now you got, in this one verse now, we got three sections that we went through, all right? We're in the fourth session of the same verse. Now we're breaking down the fourth session of that verse into three segments. Remember I tell you what God can fit into one verse? This is all one verse that I'm dissecting right here. And we're just touching the tip of what God means out of this one verse. Isn't that amazing what God can do? There's no end to what he has built in. So there we have the sea. Second, we have the waves. And third, we have roaring. Each one of those represents a special part of a verse of telling us the story of how we get to the perplexity of mankind. Here we have sea. What does the sea represent in the Bible? The sea are the Gentile peoples and nations. It's generally used as nations rising up against God. That's what the seas are. So when we talk about with seas roaring, we're talking about people rising up, roaring, okay, the waves. This was the crazy thing when I started looking here. Waves means like to be pregnant. That's interesting to be pregnant. Well, when you see a wave, it swells up, right? Like a woman who's carrying a child where her stomach swells up. Well, the wave means to be pregnant or to swell in order to burst forward with force, right? Ever increasing, all right? And if you look at a hurricane, you begin to see it begins with little rolls, then the next thing you know, you got waves breaking, and the next thing you know, these things are huge coming in before the storm actually hits. So knowing what we see about the seas, when we see the waves, so we see the condition of mankind raising up, getting worse and worse. All right, roaring, very loud, deafening sound, or an uncertain sound. So all these things be louder and louder, and, And so you hear all this stuff getting worse and worse and worse around mankind until it reaches the point of perplexity. Can't fix it. It won't take long to get to that stage the way we are today. So that's what we're looking at for that one verse. Now we want to go through and we want to begin to dissect that. So what we didn't know is that in 2015, when we began to cover all those things, on the last part of the verse right here, I brought up a weather report from 2015 that we didn't know about at the time. And I'm going to brighten, dig it up, make it bigger so you can read it. Everybody here, and you can see it on the screen, and those at home. According to the EMDAT, this is an agency that studies the disasters, how often, and the effect that they're taking place. What they're saying, in the 20 years leading up to the year 2000, the weather was pretty much in a pattern. You know, we had problems like the church said, oh, we've always had that. Well, it's pretty much all those patterns. Something began to change in the year 2000. All right, so but since that time, it says the disasters have risen by 43%. In 2015, which I believe that we will look back and show that that is a pivotal year for mankind. That's the year when you had the conclusion of the Blood Moon Tetrads, which was the eighth. That means the beginning, a new beginning. That's the year the Pope came. That's the year that to America, that he stood in the White House on the Day of Atonement, God's most sacred day of the year, and he went to all the other locations, finished with Philadelphia, and went back, and he left right before the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the same year that the Pope did the alignment with the Palestinians, recognizing them as a state and ignoring Israel. It's also the same year that the United States voted for gay marriage. I believe what we're going to look back, that we'll see, is God the beginning of taking his hands off this nation and protecting from its protection and letting Satan begin to do what he did to Job. It's like Danny said in the announcements. It was like 578 tornadoes, more than double the normal in 1 month. The flooding is going to continue. It's hit with a farmer's saying, we just planted. And now they don't know if they'll have enough time to plant before the season passes. This is the next wave that just took place because just a month ago, it was further north. 1 million cows had died. Remember that? And they lost all their planting. And it took the grain that they had stored from last year, began to swell up and lose it. It's like right in the very heart of the growing. The guy says, you're going to go out and plant, you're going to come back with little. You're seeing it right now. The curses that's taking place. And you see God's hands coming off this nation. And you look at the swelling borders and the rising of the people coming in. For the first time, over 1,000 people caught at one time. 1,000 people. Never in our history have we seen something like this going on. So now, since 2015, it says, the disasters now are increasing to over 50% of what they used to be. So what did Luke 21, verse 25 say? Ever increasing. I don't know how to tell you this. If you can't see it, you're blind. If God's people cannot recognize the change of events, they need to go to their knees before God and open up their eyes. Because we are in the period of warning of the churches. And I don't know how much more time we have. And I can't be more emphatic than that. The season, the way is roaring. Now we get to where God brings us to the physical and the spiritual. All right, there's this incredible battle that's taking place right here on the earth. Revelation 13 says, this is verse 1. This is the beast who rises from the sea. And I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rise out of the sea. What is the sea? It's the people. It's the people. It's the Gentiles, the unbelieving, the unconverted. And so you see this powerful beast that's started rising up from amongst the people. Is beginning to take place, and you've been watching it now for the last few years, especially since 2015. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. Oh my, clicker ain't working here. And upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And who is that? Well, of course, we understand. We believe that is the Vatican. That is the Pope. And we see that they're going to rise up and build this world Babylon back again, as it was once before. And we'll see this continual rising. And this is for another story. This is for another story. What I bring it to you for today? Because of the sea. Because we're working in that verse. So here's the understanding in God's mysteries. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Let's look for some confirmation for what I just told you about the sea. Here in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and he says, this is the land. Right? This is the land. In fact, some of us sat around here after church the 2 weeks ago when I gave this, and we were talking about the land and the sea. And we realized that a lot of people don't realize this. So let me go put that in the sermon. Let me go put that in the sermon. Because look, the Lord said to Abram, get you out of your country and from a kindred and from your father's house unto a land. I bigged and bolded it so you can see the land that I will show you, all right? And I will make you a great nation and bless you, and I make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hence, leading to the type of eventually Jesus Christ is going to come out of his family line, and Jesus Christ will be the one who will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now let's look at the sea. What does it say about the sea? Look at this. Revelation 21, when it's all said and done. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That's not just water. That's no more people who are unconverted and the ungodly. They're gone. And we look at prophecy and the earthquakes, and it talks about the mountains splitting and flattening and the water disappearing. So what's God doing? He's preparing the way to bring more people into his body, into his family. No more unconverted by the time we reach Revelation 21. All of this stuff is built into God's holy word, but not understood by the world because they don't understand the plan of God. The physical and the spiritual. Let's move on. In God's wisdom, he chose to use the physical realm to give us the insight into the spiritual world that we do not understand. And thank goodness that he does. That's why God. That's why Jesus spoke to him in parables, remember? He had to give them something that they can understand from a physical mind to understand the spiritual intent for what God was saying. John 3:12-13. So he says, this is at a different point. He says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man. And last time I stopped right there and I made a strong point for those who are new in the church to let them know you're not going to heaven. Not to ruin their day, but to open their eyes. Yeah, to open their eyes. Understanding. Satan's intervention into weather. When all these events taking place, it's not just God does all that. Satan has the power to do it also. Look at Job 1. We talked about this. And I'm reinforcing it here because if you miss part 1, you need to understand, if God takes his hand off this nation, Satan has the power to run roughshod and just bring it to wreck and ruin. Just like he did Job. So we need to understand that. Have you not made a hedge about him? So let's stop right there. All of God's people. You need every day to pray that God places his hedge around you. Because you are the ones who Satan's going after. You realize that? He's got the rest of the world. Who's he going after? Revelation tells us that. He's going after you. But he can't touch you unless God lets him. That's what makes Satan so furious. That's what he said about Job. Have you considered my servant Job? He says, yeah, because you protect him. I can't do him anything. And he can't do you anything either. That's why we have the work of God to let the people know that God can give you protection where you are. Satan ran around Job. He couldn't do him nothing. He ran all over the earth. He said, are you talking about Job? He said, I can't do him anything. You've got him protected. Says, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face, Satan said. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only upon him. Do not put forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And what did he do? Look what happens. And while he was yet speaking, I'm just jumping for verses because of the sake of time. You can go back and read this. But while he was speaking, there was also another that said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven. Now that phrase, we just read that God didn't do that. Satan took his, God took his hand off of Job. He couldn't hurt Job, but go do whatever you want to the rest that he has. That's from Satan. But the people didn't know that. They think there was an act of God. How many times we hear in the weather forecast, it's an act of God? Well, maybe not. Maybe all these floods, and the Arkansas River and all these farmlands and all these people who suffer now, that water's not going to leave. That water's going to sit there like it did in New Orleans because it's in a bowl. It's going to be there for weeks. It's not an act of God. It could be Satan. I think God took his hand off this nation in 2015. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. That's why you're seeing the incredible emotion of anger exploding across this nation. When you tell them the truth, they get so mad they want to punch you. That's Satan. And you better get ready and understand it won't get better. You're moving into the time God calls the wearing down of the saints. So buckle up and get ready because it's going to get bad. Why doesn't God's church want to understand that? We are in the stage that for 70 years the church preached was coming. You're there. And now many in the church says, oh, we're not there. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Verse 19 says, behold, a great wind came from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. 578 tornadoes in 30 days. More than twice the normal. You know what they're blessed with? They were blessed there were not more four and five categories. Or you'd have had deaths untold that last month. Fortunately, there were ones, twos, and threes. And there were only about 12 or 15 deaths. Because some of these things hit at night, wiping out entire towns, went across them. If they were fours and fives, it would have destroyed everything in its path. So, thank God for that. There were not a lot of fours and fives. So now, here we are. One, two, three with the categories that we're at. So now let's take a look at this. All right, let's look at the number third. All right, this is three. Tells us how we get to the physical condition. What we are beginning to witness are the physical battles, the rising seas, that are parallel to the spiritual warfare that Satan is waging. God uses the physical to get to understand the spiritual. When you see all this earth creation stuff going on, God's letting us see that these are spiritual warfare that's taking place behind the scenes, trying to destroy you and I and all our children and make this whole world in a place that's uninhabitable. All right, that's what he's after. Now, the rising seas. The Bible quite often uses the term seas as the reference to foreign nations and armies. Look what it says. These are scriptures that I used last time. This is, I think, three or four I'm going to use here again. Woe to many nations that rage. They rage like a raging sea. You ever been in a raging sea? Man, I've been in a raging sea. When I taught scuba diving, it was amazing. I went out one time. It was sunny. You know how the storms come up in the summer down here? So I've got a group of people, about 15, 20 people. We're on a crew boat out there. You know, it was like a supply boat. And because of my breathing pattern, I was more relaxed than most people. I was down there last. I was down there the longest, and I was having a grand old time. And I was running pretty deep, so I couldn't feel the swells of what was taking place. I made sure everybody went up. They all went up. So I was down. Actually, when they finished, then I was going to shoot a couple of fish and bring up. But I didn't want to shoot the fish while the people were in the water and draw sharks and scare everybody half to death. So I wait till they leave, and I would just start shooting the fish. So as I'm bringing fish up, all of a sudden I'm bouncing all over as I'm getting closer and closer to the surface, and I don't understand how those swells work. And what they do is they create this rolling action as they go by, and they go deeper and deeper, get smaller and smaller as they go. So depending on the sea, I'm about 30 feet down, I'm hitting swells already. So, oh, man, what am I about to get into? To feel seas swelling at 30 feet, that got to be a big sea. When I got to the top, man, it was blowing cats and dogs up there. We must have had 10, 12-foot seas, and that boat was bouncing all over the place. You know, and I had to wait and time myself to get to the stair when it came back down again so I can grab onto it and rise up again so I can get out of the water. I got on top of the boat when I finally got on. I'm throwing my fish to them. I ain't losing them fish. So I'm taking them fish home. And stuff blowing off the boat. I mean, I'm watching their ice chests just blowing across the boat, and everybody's in there, and they're all sitting up, down there seasick, and they're throwing up. And I said, but you having a good time yet? They're trying to loosen them up. They were scared to death out there, you know. So anyway, so that was just one. I love telling those stories because they're funny when you think about it. They weren't funny back then when they're in that boat. But what am my point? My point is the raging seas that's going up here. All right, so look at this. That was Isaiah 17. Here's Jeremiah 51. So the Lord will destroy Babylon. He will silence her noisy din. The waves of the enemies, like the water again, the waves of the enemies will rage. We're seeing that in people. Well, if you don't agree with them, they get so angry with you these days. You can't disagree with people out there. You know, you know, Audrey wants to put stuff on a car and, you know, about what she believes. I said, not down here, you ain't. I don't have enough insurance to keep replacing this car. They throw rocks at you. They cut your tires. I mean, then people get mad at you. You know, and I hate to even give them my home phone. I said, they can call me. I'm getting mad at me. I get some pretty vicious stuff. People get really mad at me. All right, so waves of enemies like rage and like great waters, and their voices will resound. That's in Jeremiah. Here's one in Jeremiah 47. And this is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. This is what the Lord says. See how the waters are rising. Remember that report I read to you at the beginning? Remember when I said when I started reading that report, all of a sudden all these things started running through my brain? That's what God says. He will bring to remembrance. These scriptures all of a sudden begin, it's like, whoa, what am I reading here? And if you said, this sounds very spiritual. I'm looking at the physical, but it sounded very spiritual. So there we are, and the waters are rising in the north. And they will become an overflowing torrent. Now look at the weather this morning. They talk about the waters in those rivers now. They're overflowing their banks, their torrents. They're tearing up the people. We had to open up the Morganza Spillway. Only the third time in its history it's ever been opened up. Had to open up the spillway again twice. So only the second time in its history that's ever happened. And they can't get the water down fast enough. And now they're looking at four or five other locations across Arkansas that may spill the banks and ruin more farmland and more homes and more people's cities. All that in 1 month. Just 1 month. It says, and they will overflow the land and everything in it, and the towns and those who live in them. When we look at those things, do you see the scriptures when you look at the stories that they're being brought today? And they talk about these epidemics, and they talk about this is like biblical situations we're looking at here. Things that they use words that bring out spiritual thought. I'm going to show you how the politicians are doing that right now when we get into that. It's interesting that the Vatican calls itself the Holy See. So why? You know, it's amazing how Satan deceives everybody. This was at the ecumenical gathering, and they were talking about the sea rising up. Look at Revelation 17:3. So he said, he carried me into the Spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And here we see the rising sea, and it is the sea, which is the Vatican Sea, who's bringing about the 2030 agenda. That's very important that we understand the study on the 2030 agenda. Now, take a look at the 2030 agenda. This is what they call the SDG, Sustainable Development Goals. All right? This is what was introduced by the Pope in 2015 at the UN right here in the United States, the very day after meeting with President Obama in the White House on the Day of Atonement. Wow. Because he went to Congress, a congressional delegation, which was the law body of the land, believe it or not. So what he was doing, he's marking his territory. And it's almost like he was spitting in God's face saying, yeah, this is your land, but I'm here now. Because your people that you call have now turned their back on you and have just voted out and put in same-sex marriage. And so I'm here to show, and God is, we can look back and say, and look at the events now in America since that time. If one person can show me that we're better than we were, economically things are a little different, but I'm going to show you a little bit about that later. I don't know if I have time to do that today or not, but I want to get to this. I want to show you this. Look, what are we looking at here? This is the rising sea. This is the Pope's 2030 agenda, 17 specific points. So now, this is the type of counterfeiting the millennial reign. Why are we doing it? What are they looking for? They're going to have a utopia on earth. Right? A utopia on earth. That's what all of this is going to give us. A utopia on earth. The International Banker, this is a financial group. And they did some figures to get this thing started. Just to get this thing started, they've realized they're about $2.5 trillion short to get it started. Trillion dollars to get it started. They don't have the money to get it started. Doesn't matter, they're going to do it anyway. And I'm telling you what's saving us right now. whether you like this or not, whether you like the president or not, you better thankfully that God put him in place right now. Because, and I'm going to show you how important this is, if he wasn't in place right now, we would be doing this right now. He would. We would. That has nothing to do with politics. Why did God do that? To give us more time to preach the warning message. I find no other reason. I find no other reason. Why? Because our nation isn't repenting. It isn't getting any better. It had to give us time. And I don't know anyone out there that would give us more time to be able to do this. So now, to put it in place, what's the first thing they're going to get rid of? Poverty. Oh, really? You're going to get rid of poverty? Have you looked at these foreign nations? Look what Jesus says. Woman came to him with an alabaster and very costly oil, and she poured it on his head. But when he saw his disciples, they were indignant, saying, "Why waste this oil? This oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." What did Jesus say? "Don't trouble her, for she has done this for me for a good work. For you have the poor with you always." So now, the very first thing on the agenda to create our utopian society goes against the words of Jesus Christ. Do you think it has any means for success? Jesus Christ knows what he's talking about. He said you're going to have them with you always. The Pope says we're going to get rid of poverty. Can you see the counterfeit? All right, let's go see what else he's got on this thing. We talked about this. You know, in fact, I did a little series, "It Ain't Easy Being Green," in News and Nuggets. We did it. If you have the internet, you can go back and you can see this program on February 15, 2019. And we covered it on the green. And look what it says. What has to change for us to implement it? To make it work, we have to remove all our fossil fuels, automobiles, trains, trucks, airplanes, tractors, and boats. There you go. How are we going to get around? How about this? We got to retrofit every building for utilities because we don't have the utilities anymore. We got to do something else. That will require a minimum of 30,000 homes and businesses a day for 10 years to retrofit them all by 2030. 30,000 a day. Boy, you talk about a workforce, huh? We haven't even got to the $2.5 trillion. I mean, this is impossible. They're talking $50 trillion for America alone. And it could go higher than $100 trillion. How about this? We have to change every power grid in every city that lights the USA. And yet there was over 100 Congress people said, "Yeah, let's go for this. This is a good thing." I don't know. We've got to do away with cows passing gas, too, by the way. I couldn't help that. I'm just throw that in there. I did it twice. I couldn't help it twice. How about this one? Methane gas reduction plan. I saw these. I said, "That is so funny. I wish I'd have thought of stuff like that, you know." Here's a guy out there with green going to catch all the cows at farts. Yep, took a dump on that one, too. I'm sorry about that. Sometimes you got to laugh a little bit because it's pathetic. It's pathetic. All right, let's go a little further because it gets pretty serious. How about gender equality? How about that one? There's no way that's going to work. Gender equality. How about these two? Now we're getting serious. This is religion now. We're talking about everyone has to give up their beliefs to conform to the beliefs of the Catholic Church. That's what this is going to. What does that mean? The UN 2030 agenda will usher in a Sunday law for the millennial peace. The Pope has already stated, for this to work, we must all come to worship on the same day. Now, when I told you that you ought to be thankful to God that we have Trump in the office right now, because if not, we'd be moving toward this direction, that means the work of God is going to come to an end eventually. Because as soon as this administration is gone, and the left-wing agenda comes in. This is not politics I'm talking about. This is talking about the spiritual realm that's coming over this nation. And I have said from day one, it's the political realm that drives our lives. Because it has moved out of politics into controlling people's lives. Tariffs and trade wars. I'm going to spend a lot of time here. But I'm going to show you something. This is from China. How when I tell you words make it sound biblical, look what China says. China calls for people's war against the U.S. and vows to fight a new world. for a new world. How about that? A new world. Everybody's talking about this new world now, right? Now, people used to think the new world order was just a conspiracy. Remember that? Well, it's not. Now it's ruling its ugly head out there. In a new series of op-ed articles, the Chinese media slammed what it labeled Trump's administration greed and arrogance and called for a people's war targeting the U.S. with precision as China begins a fight for a new world. They're the ones who want to run this new world, all right? That's what they're fighting for, all right? He goes on to say, President Xi pointed out that the Chinese economy is a C. Isn't that amazing, the words they used? All this is showing up right after we begin to understand God's talking about the sea, the roaring sea. China now roaring up. He says, we're not a small pond. He continues, says, a rainstorm can destroy a pond, but cannot harm the sea. And China's going to be at the end when you talk about Gog and Magog, and you see all these wars are beginning to take place. They will rise up as the United States goes down. After numerous storms, he says, the sea is still here. He's talking about in biblical terms now. What he's saying is this battle between God's people, the land, and Satan's people, the sea. When it's all said and done, the ungodly will still be here. That's what we're looking at here. We need to discern the difference between what we're reading and what the Bible says. Look at Matthew 24, 12 through 22. This is now, I'm not into politics, but I'm going to show you the wording of what they're using here. Biden says we're in the battle for the soul of America. Isn't that amazing? Wait till I show you the timelines of what's coming and how important what we're looking at here. All right, so Matthew 24, 21 through 22. Of course, we talk about the time when no flesh would be saved. So what is he saying? We're talking about the soul of America. We fight to save the soul before it all dies. All right, that's Joe Biden. How about next? Look at Bernie Sanders. What does Bernie Sanders say? Oops, I had to see if I can back that up. Well, I can't back it up. Anyway, but they're all saying the same thing. They're all battling for the soul of our nation. They're all using that same, all using biblical terms for life, death, for soul, for the new world, and talking about this is the end if we don't change it. Remember we said we got 12 years. If we don't change in 12 years, we're all going to die. It's the end of the world. It's interesting what we're seeing taking place here. All right, so I'm going to need to roll on this with this. This is in 1933. This is when Hitler was appointed Chancellor of Germany. It was called the Enabling Act, which allowed him total dictatorship, all right? He immediately began to destroy the Jews. And what happened? It was 12 years later that his reign of terror was over. He came in, he had 12 years, and it was gone. Is there any significance to that? I think so. Germany surrenders on May 11th, 1945. 3 years later, Israel is reestablished, right? 1948, that's modern day Israel, May 14th, 1948. So now, let's take a look at this chart. This is an amazing chart when you see the former and the latter, the type and the anti-type. Hitler's the Chancellor of Germany. The end of the reign of terror in 1945, what do we have? 12 years. Israel, 15 years. Total 15 years, all right? So that's what we had back then. Total of 15 years. All right, so now, what do we have now? The 2030 agenda. We have type, we have anti-type. Here we go, the 2030 agenda. The scientists in 2018 claimed that we have 12 years to save the world. Hitler had 12 years, all right? So they're saying 12 years brings us to 2030. 12 years, just like before. When was it introduced? 2015. What was the total? 15 years. I'm going to tell you something. You can't make this up. This is divinely given. You couldn't plan this if you tried to plan it. And to have it start on the Day of Atonement in the United States at the UN 2 days later. Who has the power to create and do those things? Mankind couldn't have never dreamed to imagine all this taking place. Total of 15 years. So now we have, what do we have here? We have the two different ones. We have a former, we have a latter type and anti-type. All right, this was just showed to me last week. So sit, everybody sit down. Oh, you're sitting. I'm just kidding. Any idea you ever see this before? I just saw that for the first time last week. And I'm saying, how did I miss this? Isn't that freaky looking? Pull that back up on the screen, Jeff. Look at that. That's a picture of Christ coming out of the grave, and all the souls with him. Doesn't it look like something out of Hades Inferno? That's what that is. You know where that's at? Any idea what that's at? Get ready for this. This is going to shock you. All right? Look who's sitting in the front. That's the Vatican's audience hall. You see the Pope sitting there and all the bishops or the cardinals? That's only the beginning. Wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. Watch this. The Vatican audience hall. That's looking at it from the front. Remember the old serpent? They built the building in 1971. It is resemblance to the serpent. Look at the scales. Look at the eyes. Look at the fangs. And I'm saying this is built in 71. How did no one ever show this to us? Because the sea hasn't risen yet. The sea now is rising. Ooh, let's get another look at it. What are we looking at? Look. That old serpent, the devil, God calls him. What was he in the Garden of Eden? That old snake, the serpent. They built a building to actually look like it and got away with it. Satan, who put that in their heads to do that? Look. Did that shock anybody? I saw that last week and I couldn't wait. I got to go home and study this. That building, I'll give you a little more on that building. That's Pope Paul VI Audience Hall, also known as the Hall of the Pontificate Audience, is a building in Rome named for Pope Paul VI with a seating capacity of 6,300 people. I don't know about you. That's freaky. I mean, that's pretty scary, huh? That this has been going on. Look at this. Revelation 9, verse 13 to 14. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. Boy, did he deceive the world. They built it like a serpent. Unbelievable. And they're in there thinking they're worshiping God. And Satan, which deceives the whole world, was cast to the earth and his angels with him. And the dragon, there you go, saw that he was cast to the earth and persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. That is eventually going to be talking about you and me, the church. He's going after God's people. That's why I said you need to pray for protection. The woman was given two wings when the great eagle, or she might fly. Now, by the way, that's another... Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to leave that alone. I'll cover it another time because I don't have the time to go where... Because there's a little misunderstanding here in the church about that. But I'm going to cover that another time. Look at the outside. Does that look like the serpent's head? I mean, I'm just... Every time I'm just sitting there like, what? I mean, what do you say? And the serpent, listen, look what it says here. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. The people, the Gentiles. He's going to rise up, gather the world together, going to cast them across the earth, going after everybody. So that he might cause it to be carried away by a flood. What are we looking at all these around? The weather report that's coming out, that was in 2015, that's been coming out now. The flood, the people. What are we looking across the United States? The flooding that's going on. How? All right? How? Revelation 13, it saw the beast on the stood on the sand of the sea. All right? I stood on the sand of the sea, and the beast rose up. So here's John. He's standing on land, right? Where is it? Because he's a converted. And he stands, and he's looking in the water, and then the unconverted is coming out. That's what he's talking about here. He's beginning to see the sea rise up. What are you looking at today? Let me tell you something. You're in that verse right here today. Why? Because you're standing on land. You're in God's house. You're in God's body. And what are you looking at? What did you just see? The sea rising up. That's what you're seeing. That's what John saw in vision. I'm telling you, there today. You're there today. You don't have to look for prophecy. You're living it right now. You're living it right now. And it was given to make war with the saints. That's you and I. That's the warning. And the earth helped the woman. Who's the earth? God, his people. Who's the woman? The church. So in other words, God, you don't have to worry. God's going to protect you. He's going to come after you because he's going to protect you. Now, I know he's going to overcome some of the saints. I understand that. But the majority will be protected. How? Here's how. I saw the angel come down from heaven. He had the key to the bottomless pit and the great chains in his hand. Why? Because God's going to come in. There is going to help. How's it going to help? God's going to send an angel down. He's going to grab Satan, going to lock him up and put him away for 1,000 years. You see how that's uncoded? The mystery is out there because God's revealing those things to his people. So he laid hold on a dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and he bound him up for 1,000 years. All right, so now let's look at this again. All right, here we go again. Here's Hitler, the reign of terror, the 12 years, and Israel's established. All right? All right, here, now. Now we're coming to today. All right? In 2018, scientists claim we have the 12 years. Brings us to the 20-year agenda. Here's our 15 years. All right, here we go. One, two, type, antitype. So God always shows us what is going to happen by showing us what has happened. In modern times, you're looking at it right here. All right. Now, what are we looking at here? All right. So when we get to the type and antitype, we see the type, which is the physical, the establishment of a modern-day physical Israel, which is actually Judah, but is actually they call it Israel. The land is the same land. 2030 is what the Pope is talking about. He's trying to build a modern-day Israel. Is what he's after. I kind of think that God's let Satan know that he has till 2030. Thereabout? I don't know. I'll be real careful because I can't mark time. I don't know the time. But I'm going to show you what's really scary. So it's possible 3.5 years before the 2030 agenda, we're going to begin a tribulation period. So because you see that in the Germany surrendering and the UN petitions Palestine in 1947 and 48. So you see all that three and a half year period? Type and anti-type, we're coming into that period. All right. One thing's for sure we got to look at is coming really, really fast. 2030 is right at the conclusion, by the way, of 2,000 years since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Watch this. So Revelation 12:12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down having great wrath, knowing he has a short time. How does he know he has a short time, by the way? It's just like you and I do, because God says, I'm going to show you. He knows Scripture better than you and I. And we've seen the parable of fig tree beginning to bud back in 48. 48. Now it starts growing, right? And it grows. You ever notice a fig tree, what it does when it comes out of hibernation, so to speak? You get the bigger branch, then it runs starts around the green branches, then smaller branches, and then you get the little flowers between the leaves. So you've had those green branches running. Now we're moving into the smaller branches, and we're starting to see it starting to bud. Because his time's growing close. Look at Hosea. It says, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, he will heal us. He has smitten us, he will bind us up, and after 2 days will revive us. 2,000 years ago, as Peter says, a day is 1,000 years. We're coming into that period. 2 days. He will revive us, it says, and in the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. The millennium. The third day, the only way to live in Christ's sight, because Christ is here. He's only here in his sight, in the millennium, at the beginning. That's when we'll start. So what is the Pope trying to do in his 2030 agenda? He's trying to get you to go follow him at that period, while Christ is saying, I'm coming back here. See what's going on? I mean, this is powerful stuff. All right, this is powerful stuff. The weather concern, we went through this before, and I was going to reiterate a few other things, but I'm just actually going to go right past it because I think we've covered that enough. The peril of the fig tree, 24, the Olivet prophecy, it's a yardstick to gauge the events before Christ's return. Matthew 24, 32, 34, and 36. Learn the parable, when his branch is yet tender, he puts forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So now we get into the period of putting out the leaves. So likewise, when you see all these things, you know that is near even at your doors. And truly I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. We nailed down that point yesterday in our special, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. If you haven't seen it, you need to see that. It's an awesome special. You know, I think our team did a really good job putting that together. That means from the time it's possible to destroy all flesh, that generation shall not pass. And as we showed, that generation, somewhere about 1950, it was possible we had enough nuclear armament to destroy mankind many times over. That generation, the greatest generation, the World War II generation, 70 years brings us to 2020, around 50, plus or minus a year or two. Oh, God says you might have 80 years. Brings us to when? 2030. That generation shall not pass. And as we showed in that special yesterday, that generation is dying hundreds and hundreds every day. And it shows by 2029 there's very few left. And God says before that generation passes, I'm coming back. That's another way to show you that that fig tree is starting to bloom. That's out there. But of that day and hour knows no man, only the angels, but my Father only. So we don't know the day or the hour. But God says, you're going to have a pretty good clue when I'm coming. When I'm coming. Roaring seas, Isaiah 28, powerful verse. Woe to the crown of the pride. This is warning now. This is warning God's nation. The crown of pride to the drunkards of Ephraim. Many people in the church believe that Great Britain is Ephraim and that we're Manasseh. I'm going to do a little sermon, or I'll do a news and nuggets, or I'll do something. They got it backwards. They got it backwards. But even if you believe that, that's okay today. That's really okay today because we're still Joseph's sons. But the truth is, at the end time, God's always warning about Ephraim being involved, and Great Britain's days have faded. They're gone. The United States is still in play, and it will be still in play toward the end time. That's why we say it's Ephraim. Plus, Ephraim is the younger brother. So I'm going to show you the scripture where they misunderstood it, and it's really simple. It's called a parenthetical insert, and you reverse the sentence of the way the structure is laid out in the Hebrew as compared to the way it's written in English. And it irons itself out. Ironclad, it's real. But anyway, let's not fight that battle today. That's a battle for another day. Understand that we're still Joseph's sons, right? Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is fading, is a fading flower, which are the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Talk about the drunkenness of this nation and how we operate. Behold, the Lord has a mighty and a strong one, which is a tempest of hail and a destroying storm. As a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with his hand. This is a warning to our nation. That God says, when you see all of this, what is he using? He's using the weather as the example. What have we not covered in the last 4 years? The floods, the end part of the verse now that we're beginning to open up and work on and try to understand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. Talking about our nation, of where we're going. All right, one last chart, and I'll begin to wrap it up. Hey, I'm not too good, bad on time today. Great, 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 great. All right, 2015, the 23rd agenda, and the 2030. All right, so here we are, right? We're bringing it up one more time. Now I'm going to bring in some stuff. I want you to pay attention to this because this is going to get kind of wild where I'm going with this, all right? Here we have, let's talk about 3.5-year tribulation coming back. We got our schedule lined up. No mistake, this is what's going on, right? Everything that's hypothesis. What is a hypothesis? It's like, I don't really know, but it's an educated guess. In other words, we're leaning toward this. I try to put a question mark on. All right? Just to show you, but let's say that happens. If it happens 2031, then you move back 3.5 years, aborted. In other words, we're in this period of the fig tree, is what I'm trying to show you. All right, so what else we have? 2014 to 2015, all right? What do we have 2014 and 2015? The blood moon tetrads, the eighth time, all right? So that began to mark that the end of an event, bringing us into the eighth time, a new era, a new period of time in God's plan. 2014, 2015, what began at that time? The reports began to change and the weather began to change in 2014, 2015. All of this taking place in 2014, 2015, the thing we didn't cover was the weather back then. But we can go back now and look at the weather and say, it was there, we missed it. It got by us. But it's there, now it's coming out. What else we got? All right, so now we got 2017, the signs in the heavens. So we began to cover that. The signs in the heavens in 2017, we had just like Revelation chapter 12. I think there's a real possibility this period of time now begins the day of the Lord. Because if you got to go back into that series, that's for me to make that explanation, you need to go back and look at those sermons. They're all online. Take the time and study. Your salvation depends on a lot of this information. Well, you can blush it off like a lot of church people are doing. but you're going to do it at your own detriment. I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't say that. All right, so what else is going on there? 3.5 years. Isn't that amazing? God uses 3.5 year periods of time. So from the time of the beginning of the first blood moon, which was on Passover, to the heavenly signs, which was on trumpets, 3.5 years in 2017. Is that, can anybody try to line that up on their own? That's impossible. There's no way you can do that. That's set in order. The orbit of the heavens is set in place from creation. God set that up thousands and thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. How about this? 3.5 more years, what does it take us to? The next president. Remember I told you if the next president comes in and they're left, the Democratic, they begin to move and change things, right? They begin to move and change things. How about this? 2014, 2024, the Miskey moment. Hey, did anybody know about the Miskey moment? You got to hold on to your hat for this one. 2024, they anticipate that's called debt zero. I read that. So how are we going to get out of debt in 2024? That isn't what it means. It's called the Miskey moment. The Miskey moment, debt zero, means somewhere in that period they're telling us that all the money that we take in all year, every bit of it has to go to pay the debt's interest. Just the interest. Every dime this country produces only pays for the interest on the debt. Then it becomes a Ponzi scheme. I have to borrow more money to pay more debt. But I can't pay the debt. I have to pay the interest. So I need to raise the debt, the money coming in to pay more. So it escalates and escalates and escalates. Somewhere in this period, I don't have time to go into today, somewhere in that period, the medical area is going to be bankrupt. Social Security will begin to falter. Could that be? Let me show you. Let me go a little further. Could that be the end of 7 years of plenty? Now, the Bible doesn't prophesy 7 years of plenty, but we have a former and we have a latter with Joseph. You have a type of Israel coming out of bondage and going into bondage. Joseph was told, store for 7 years, because 7 years of lean are coming. Why did Donald Trump get in office? Why is our economy doing well right now? While we still had debt everywhere and everything's falling apart around the world? To give you time to get ready. I believe what God's showing us here, get your house in order. I think we need to begin to talk about how you're going to be able to filter water. I mean, some of you here are doing all that. In fact, I think, Frank, you did a little seminar here not too long ago on some of that, didn't you? Brought in some of that stuff. I think we need to begin to focus. Look where it lines up. All right, look where it lines up around the Miskies. I'm not making this stuff up, you all. I had no idea. You asked me 2 months ago. I could not put this together for you. Couldn't do it. But now it's like a beacon that's out there. And when I look at it, I get terror inside of me. And I got to find a way. And I'm asking Hugh and I'm asking the people who see this, help us get the word out. I know people aren't going to listen to it right now. So who's this little dumpy guy down there in New Orleans? Who do you think he is? It's the message, you all. It's not the messenger. God says he's going to bring a message out. This is a warning message, and you need to share it. And you need to take it to heart. And you need to go to God in prayer. And we need to get ready. All right, so then you got 7 years of lean. I'm going to tell you something. When the next generation gets in, they start doing that green implementation, going to bankrupt the nation faster than you've ever seen. Not that it ain't already bankrupt. And what else? Satan's removal? Let's hope so. Let's hope so. We've got 2019 and 2030. That's 11 years. We got a lot to expect in a short span of time. In a very short span of time. I hope I woke you up. I really, really hope I woke you up. There's a lot more things I want to say. I didn't want to go into a part three in this, but I'm going to be covering this subject in different ways, in different fashions, to pull in other scriptures, to pull it all together, because I believe what God has done right here and through the last part of that verse is opened up a new chapter of insight into his holy word. And we need, with all our heart, to follow with all diligence the information that God's given us. And if God doesn't come back by 24, you have done nothing but better your relationship with God, gotten to a better financial picture, and have a closer relationship with your friends and your family and your loved ones as we wait for Jesus Christ. You've got nothing to lose, but you've got to prepare, and you need to start right now. Have a great week.